In today's news headlines, Hurricane Laura has begun pummeling the state of Louisiana as a Category 4 storm, targeting the Lake Charles region and bringing the threat of floods that many fear will rival Hurricane Katrina. The New York Times described widespread destruction from Laura's devastating winds. Roofs were peeled off, buildings were destroyed, and lampposts were tossed into the streets. Laura is considered the most powerful hurricane to hit the Gulf Coast region in decades and is expected to dump an average of 5 to 10 inches of rain in just hours, with 18 inches of rain in some local areas. In northern Louisiana, wind speeds are expected to surpass 70 miles per hour as a tornado watch remained in effect. Hurricane Laura heads to the state of Arkansas next and is expected to calm down to a tropical storm by Friday in Kentucky. On the same day as the hurricane bore down on Louisiana, in the state of North Carolina, the third day of the Republican National Convention opened with prayers for those who stood in the hurricane's path. The only two speakers to reference the hurricane during the evening were Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura, and his Vice President, Mike Pence. Here is Pence.
Before I go further, allow me to say a word to the families and communities in the path of Hurricane Laura. Our prayers are with you tonight, and our administration is working closely with authorities in the states that will be impacted. FEMA has mobilized resources and supplies for those in harm's way. This is a serious storm, and we urge all those in the affected areas to heed state and local authorities. Stay safe. And know that we'll be with you every step of the way to support, rescue, respond, and recover in the days and weeks ahead. That's what Americans do.
Critics slammed Mike Pence for ignoring the documented climate change that is fueling such massive and destructive hurricanes each year. The RNC's third night was much like the first two, filled with what CNN called egregious dishonesty and careless inaccuracy. Mr. Pence, in particular, echoed familiar Republican talking points that are based in myths and conspiracies. He hailed President Donald Trump as a law and order president while denouncing the protests and riots in American cities that are focused on racist police violence and claiming that there will be law and order in Trump's America, but not Biden's America.
The hard truth is, you won't be safe in Joe Biden's America. Last week, Joe Biden didn't say one word about the violence and chaos engulfing cities across this country. So let me be clear. The violence must stop, whether in Minneapolis, Portland, or Kenosha. Too many heroes have died defending our freedom to see Americans strike each other down. We will have law and order on the streets of this country for every American of every race and creed and color.
Mr. Pence failed to acknowledge that the strife in American cities is taking place now in Trump's America. While he mentioned Kenosha, Wisconsin, the latest flashpoint in protests over racist police violence, Pence did not bring up the police shooting of Jacob Blake, which has prompted the protests. Nor did he raise the shooting by a 17-year-old Trump-backing armed vigilante, who is suspected of having killed two protesters and injuring one. Although the RNC says it is requiring face coverings and strictly enforcing coronavirus testing and contact tracing at the convention where hundreds have gathered, there were few to no masks being worn, and the president and vice president mingled maskless with supporters, fist bumping them and taking pictures. Fox News, during its broadcast of the convention, assured its viewers, saying, quote, anybody around the president and the first lady gets tested. The COVID-19 test, we assume everybody in this area did. We don't have that nailed down, but we assume that's the case. CNN later confirmed that there was no requirement for those gathered to get tested. As if underscoring this flouting of their own government's scientific guidelines, one RNC speaker, Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota, made it clear that expert advice was not welcome.
We are not and will not be the subjects of an elite class of so-called experts. We, the people, are the government.
That's Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. PBS NewsHour pointed out that Noem did not mention her praise of hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for COVID-19, a position that won her praise from President Trump, as did her lifting of the ban on fireworks at Mount Rushmore, where she appeared with Trump for an Independence Day weekend rally in July. White House senior advisor Kellyanne Conway, who announced last week that she was finally leaving her position, also addressed the RNC on Wednesday night. Conway has frequently defended the president from accusations of sexism and misogyny, and famously coined the phrase alternative facts to describe lies. At the RNC, she claimed that Trump was a great supporter of women.
A woman in a leadership role can still seem novel. Not so for President Trump. For decades, he has elevated women to senior positions in business and in government. He confides in and consults us, respects our opinions, and insists that we are on equal footing with the men. President Trump helped me shatter a barrier in the world of politics by empowering me to manage his campaign to its successful conclusion.
Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, echoed the sentiment.
Though I had no political experience, he believed in me. He knew I was capable, even if I didn't. So it didn't surprise me when President Donald Trump appointed so many women to senior-level positions in his administration.
A New York Times fact-checker pointed out that of the 877 key executive branch nominees put forth by Mr. Trump for positions that require Senate confirmation, about 27.6% have been women. Of the 679 that have been confirmed, about 25 have been women. That's a lower percentage than both the appointments of former President Bill Clinton and former President Barack Obama. In other news, protests continued for a fourth straight night in Kenosha, Wisconsin, against the police shooting of Jacob Blake, who remains paralyzed from the waist down as a result of 7 point-blank shots in his back. The Wednesday evening protests were relatively peaceful compared to the previous night, when armed right-wing police and Trump-supporting militias had descended on the city, and a 17-year-old named Kyle Rittenhouse was arrested for killing 2 protesters. The Washington Post reported that, quote, the 17-year-old shadowed local law enforcement as a cadet and filled his social media feeds with posts declaring that Blue Lives Matter. There were videos from the front row of a Trump rally and photos of himself posing with guns. Additionally, Rittenhouse and other armed civilians shown in videos with him were violating Kenosha's 8 p.m. curfew. And at 17, he is too young to openly carry a gun in Wisconsin. But police did not challenge him on either front. Kenosha Police Chief Daniel Miskinis appeared to blame the victims of Rittenhouse's shooting for their own deaths, saying they had violated curfew and, quote, had persons not been out involved in violation of that, perhaps the situation that unfolded would not have happened. Fox News host Tucker Carlson lauded Rittenhouse, saying he had to, quote, maintain order when no one else would. Meanwhile, the officer who shot Jacob Blake has finally been identified as a man named Rustin Chesky. Finally, the latest Labor Department report on weekly jobless claims shows that although the number of Americans filing for jobless benefits fell slightly, the number has remained at more than 1 million. As Congress and the White House have moved on from offering economic relief to struggling Americans, a new report shows that Americans are now spending less money on groceries. And that does it for our news headlines.